From the moment Donald Trump descended that golden escalator in 2015, America embarked on an unprecedented political journey. Based on hundreds of interviews with over 200 sources, a very stable genius takes us inside a White House where chaos reigned supreme and Democratic guardrails were systematically dismantled. Trump's presidency was defined by impulsive decision-making, disdain for expertise, and an unwavering demand for personal loyalty above all else. What emerges is a portrait of a leader who viewed institutions not as pillars of democracy, but as tools for personal gain. The administration's inner workings reveal how close America came to constitutional crisis as experienced officials desperately tried to contain a president who considered himself above the law. Imagine working in an environment where your boss routinely undermines national security, dismisses expert advice, and makes decisions based primarily on how they benefit him personally. This was the daily reality for those serving in Trump's White House. Trump approached staffing the government like casting reality TV, prioritizing appearance and personal loyalty over experience. Job interviews at his properties turned appointments into spectacle. People filled in paperwork on the airplane on their way down to the inauguration, recalled one senior advisor. In hockey, you can lose a knee playing with inexperienced people. That's how this is felt. The president offered Mike Pompeo the CIA directorship after just one meeting, despite Pompeo having previously warned Trump would become an authoritarian president. Trump prioritized the look: generals for national security roles, attractive women for communications. Ivanka and Jared joined the West Wing despite nepotism concerns. Trump's early weeks featured perpetual crisis. His hastily drafted travel ban barring citizens from 7 majority Muslim countries lacked legal review, causing chaos as travelers were detained worldwide. When Acting Attorney General Sally Yates refused to defend the ban on constitutional grounds, Trump fired her. Stephen Miller told a foreign diplomat, "This president is revolutionary, so he has to break China. If we follow normal procedures, we work into the hands of our enemies." Meanwhile, Trump mocked Press Secretary Sean Spicer. "Sean can't even complete a sentence. We've got a spokesperson who can't speak." On March 1, 2017, Trump struggled to read the Constitution during an HBO documentary filming. Despite choosing Article 2 on presidential power, he stumbled over the text and blamed the crew, foreshadowing his difficult relationship with constitutional limits. The next day, Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation after failing to disclose campaign meetings with Russian officials. Trump erupted, demanding, "Where is my Bobby Kennedy? Where's my Roy Cohn?" referencing attorneys general who had protected their presidents. When FBI Director James Comey publicly confirmed the Russia investigation, Trump grew desperate. After officials refused to clear his name, Trump fired Comey on May 8th. The next day, Trump told Russian officials, "I just fired the head of the FBI. That's taken off the pressure from Russia." This led to Robert Mueller's appointment to special counsel, news that made Trump slump in his chair and exclaim, "This is the end of my presidency. I'm fucked." He blamed Sessions. "It's your fault. You're weak." When Sessions offered his resignation, Trump demanded it, leaving the Attorney General fighting back tears. Trump eagerly sought to meet Putin from the start, dismissing diplomatic protocols. Their G20 meeting revealed Trump's unusual deference to the Russian leader. After briefly discussing election interference, Trump accepted Putin's denials, effectively signaling he wouldn't hold Russia accountable. Most concerning was Trump's pattern of concealing their conversations by confiscating interpreter notes and prohibiting staff discussions. The only detail that emerged was Trump telling Putin, "I believe you," regarding interference denials, infuriating intelligence officials who had compiled extensive evidence against Russia. When Secretary Tillerson attempted to educate Trump about Putin's adversarial nature, Trump dismissed him. "I have had a 2-hour meeting with Putin. That's all I need to know." in Helsinki, despite knowing U.S. investigators had built an airtight case proving Russian election interference, Trump publicly sided with Putin over his own intelligence agencies. Senator McCain called it one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory. What does it say about a president who trusts a foreign adversary more than his own intelligence community? Inside the Pentagon's tank conference room, Trump's advisors tried to educate him on global alliances and why U.S. troops were deployed worldwide to support America's security. Trump grew impatient, interrupting with complaints about NATO, South Korea, and Afghanistan, insisting we should make money off of everything, and treating international relations like business deals. The meeting deteriorated when Trump told the military leaders, "I wouldn't go to war with you people. You're a bunch of dopes and babies." The room fell silent. The irony wasn't lost on them. A commander-in-chief who had avoided Vietnam through a bone spurs diagnosis was insulting decorated military leaders who had risked their lives. While Defense Secretary Mattis remained silent, Secretary of State Tillerson responded, "No, that's just wrong, Mr. President. The men and women who put on a uniform don't do it to become soldiers of fortune." Afterward, Tillerson called Trump a fucking moron to colleagues. Military leaders were so shocked they tried keeping the incident secret, with Chairman Dunford later describing it merely as an energetic and interactive dialogue. As Trump's presidency progressed, staff worked to contain his impulses. Chief of Staff John Kelly imposed rigid structures, restricting access, screening calls, and pre-vetting papers, controls that irritated Trump, who called Kelly the church lady behind his back. Senator Bob Corker considered Kelly, Mattis, and Tillerson essential guardrails that separate our country from chaos. In September 2018, an anonymous New York Times op-ed described efforts to contain an impetuous president, even mentioning early whispers about the 25th Amendment. By 2019, these guardrails had largely disappeared. Feeling vindicated after Mueller's investigation, Trump called Ukrainian President Zelensky asking for a favor to investigate Joe Biden, leveraging military aid for political gain and triggering a whistleblower complaint and impeachment inquiry. The presidency of one had replaced the earlier system of advisors moderating Trump. His solipsism and prioritization of personal benefit over national interest threatened democratic institutions. As one official noted, there was more of an ethos in the place earlier that prevented such behavior. What began as an administration with experienced advisors channeling Trump's impulses into policy evolved into a government serving primarily the president's personal interests. The traditional guardrails of democracy, professional civil servants, constitutional norms, separation of powers, were systematically undermined. The Trump presidency tests the resilience of American institutions under unprecedented strain. When a president places personal interest above national welfare, treats allies as burdens and adversaries as friends, and views democratic institutions as obstacles, we face a fundamental question. What kind of nation do we want to be? The presidency isn't just about one person's ambitions, it's about preserving the democratic experiment that has defined America for centuries.